Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2520, with the release date of Friday, February 13th, 2026, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Kenya becomes the only African nation hosting astronaut ham radio contacts. Shortwave service delivers news to Iran. And transmitter-wearing birds in Australia give lessons in survival. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2520 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
In this week's top story, the African nation of Kenya takes a big leap forward as amateur radio and space converge formally in the months ahead. Kenya has become part of ARIS, amateur radio on the International Space Station. Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF, brings us the details.
The Kenya Space Agency has announced that students, professionals, and others will have the opportunity to communicate live over amateur radio with astronauts aboard the ISS. Kenya has become the only African nation chosen to participate in the program. Astronaut contacts are expected to take place between July and December. The country's selection comes as it deepens its commitment to providing greater STEM education. The nation has been encouraging space science studies and innovation through efforts such as the Kenya National Science Technology, Engineering and Mathematics Learning Ecosystem. This national emphasis is a major part of Vision 2030, a development initiative to industrialize and raise the quality of life in Kenya. In preparation for ARIS participation, Kenya's Space Agency and the Pan-African Citizens Science E-Laboratory will collaborate on public outreach, technical coordination, and of course, the selection of schools and other educational institutions. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
Shortwave radio, so valued as a carrier of critical information at various times in the world's history, has been declining. The BBC, however, has brought back an emergency shortwave radio service to deliver programming to Iran. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has those details.
The turmoil in Iran that led to an information blackout in that nation has prompted the BBC to launch a temporary shortwave radio service for listeners there. Medium and shortwave frequencies have been carrying programs each day starting at 1630 UTC. The content includes news and analysis relevant to Iran and provides a global perspective. In announcing the service, the BBC said this was part of its tradition of providing crisis broadcasting, adding that its broadcasts will remain on the air until the end of March. Half-hour programming is broadcast starting at 1630 UTC on both 702 kHz and 9465 kHz. Then, repeated starting at 1800 hours UTC on both 702 kHz and 5935 kHz. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Victory was never sweeter for a ham in Scotland who has successfully appealed the local planner's rejection of his tower plans. We learn more from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The foundations dug and the concrete base with anchor bolts installed, the greatest obstacle facing John Grieve, GM3RTI's tower project, has been the Scottish winter weather, so John needs to proceed slowly with pulleys, wire ropes and other work. But it was only a few months ago that he could not proceed at all. Despite supporting statements from neighbours and the Radio Society of Great Britain, the local Perth and Kinross Council rejected John's planning application for the tilt-over telescoping structure in the garden behind his home in the village of Inchcher. It was to have had an operating height of 15 metres or 50 feet. John told Newsline that he'd had little opportunity to communicate directly with the council beforehand. The rejection stated that the project would, quote, have a detrimental impact on the character and environmental quality of the application, property and the surrounding area, unquote. John, who's also an RSGB Region 2 representative, contacted the RSGB Planning Advisory Committee for an appeal in October. In mid-December 2025, he received a 10-year approval. John also gained enthusiastic support on social media. An update on the RSGB's Facebook page reached more than 35,000 supporters in just a few days, according to Society spokeswoman Heather Parsons, M70WS. Now, if only John could similarly appeal against the Scottish winter weather. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
In the U.S., the state of New Hampshire is poised to approve amateur radio license plates for vehicles registered to hams. Cell Emby, KB3TZD, has that story.
Amateur radio operators in New Hampshire are eagerly awaiting the passage of a measure by their state lawmakers to create a new vanity license plate type for motor vehicles that clearly identifies the owner of the vehicle to be an amateur radio operator. A public hearing was held last month on the House bill, which would authorize the creation of vanity license plates and decals that identify amateur radio operators by their Federal Communications Commission call sign. If the owner chooses not to display their call sign, they may use a standard issue plate featuring a lightning bolt symbol to indicate their status as a licensed amateur radio operator. If lawmakers approve the bill, it would still need the signature of Governor Kelly Ayotte before becoming law. Governor Ayotte has shown support of ham radio, proclaiming June of last year Amateur Radio Month in recognition of radio operators' important roles in public service and emergency communications. This is Salembi, KB3TZD.
People in or near Central Texas who rely on GPS received a warning from the U.S. military base at Fort Hood that wide-ranging GPS tests there might cause interference with their own personal devices. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, picks up the story from here.
Farmers, pilots, and smartphone users, and anyone else who relies on GPS to get from here to there, have been paying close attention to an alert from the U.S. military base at Fort Hood in Texas. The announcement said that throughout February, the region that includes Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and even Oklahoma City could experience interference and disruptions. The final rounds of testing are to be held on Friday the 13th and 14th from 3 to 5 a.m. local time and resuming nightly from February 15th through the 22nd. The final testing period is from February 23rd through the 27th. This is Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W3FDK repeater in Frederick, Maryland, and the Echolink node N3RO-L on Thursdays at 7 p.m. local time, followed by the weekly WeatherNet. Proud to have operating licenses as advanced class hams, a friendly group meets a few times a week on 20 meters. Others are welcome, too, as we hear from Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
The A13 Advanced Class Preservation Society is more than a gathering of friends. It is a circle of amateur radio operators who celebrate their status as the last holders of a class of license the Federal Communications Commission stopped granting nearly 26 years ago. The holders of these licenses, which are still renewable indefinitely, created the society in 2020 as a welcoming place. It became the home of a RAG-CHU net that operates on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on 14.213 MHz at 1700 UTC, with Scott Ensley, W5HVO, as primary net control. Although 445 hams hold numbered certificates of membership in this group, they extend a welcome to any advanced and extra class operators as well as DX hams who would like to check in. The elimination of the advanced class license was undertaken as a streamlining move, an action that created a three-license system that also removed the entry-level novice class. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
Some new elements have been introduced into the Radio Society of Great Britain's annual construction competition. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, explains what's different.
As in previous years, the RSGB's construction competition has six categories which emphasise the hands-on building and designing of projects, activities that are rooted deeply in amateur radio. Organisers have introduced a new category this year, Reimagination, which still draws its challenges from radio, but produces projects with an appeal to non-amateurs, such as individuals in the maker community. The Society hopes that these innovative entries will shine even more of a spotlight on what ham radio is all about. This is an international competition. Entries can be from anywhere in the world, but competitors must belong to the RSGB. The deadline for entries is the 1st of March. For details on how to enter and for a list of the other six categories, visit rsgb.org and search for construction competition. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
In the world of DX, HEDA J01CRA/JR6 will be on the air from the Yayama Islands, IOTA number AS024, from the 17th through to the 21st of February. He'll be operating mainly on CW and FT8 on 40, 30, 20, 17, 10, and 6 meters. Listen for a team of operators with the call sign T45FM on the air using CW, SSB, FT8, and FT4 from the lighthouse at Punta Maya, Cuba, IOTA number NA015. They'll be active from the 20th to the 22nd of February during the American Lighthouses Weekend. Three special call signs will be on the air for several weeks, marking a half century of German research in Antarctica. Listen for DA0ANT, DM50ANT, and DP50ANT from the 15th of February through to the 30th of April. Omar, DK1CE, is calling QRZ as TZ1CE from Bamako, Mali, until the 1st of March. Listen for him operating mainly on SSB and FT8. His main focus will be FT8 on 160 meters, 80 meters, and 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL information and other operating details for these stations. As anyone who has ever worked a satellite, or does so regularly, working these birds, as they are known, has its rewards. A group of researchers in Australia has also been working the birds, a species known as a white-backed swallow, using temperature-sensing radio transmitters. They've received some great results, as we hear from John Williams, VK4JJW.
No matter which hemisphere you live in, no doubt this year has already shaped up to be a time of weather extremes. Wherever you are, you have a lot in common with the white-backed swallow, a prevalent species here in Australia with the very uncommon ability to survive despite freezing temperatures to blasting heat. We're talking about as much as 50 degrees Celsius, that's 122 degrees Fahrenheit, and we Australians especially can relate. To learn how the birds survive, researchers in Central Australia's Sturt National Park outfitted some of them with tiny transmitters. This was not an avian pux on the air. This was a research project to monitor the birds' physiological responses through biologging, a way to record and transmit their body temperature's changes as the birds slept in their burrows at night. The result? A highly successful worked all states of bird physiology. The collected data confirmed the scientists' theory that a deep torpor, an essential near shutdown of metabolism, heart rate, and breathing, was essential for these birds, just as for some other bird species, such as the tiny hummingbirds in some regions of the world. The results were recently published in the journal Current Biology. The scientists called the transmitters key to their findings because data could be gathered in the wild instead of an artificial setting, such as a laboratory. Hams, of course, would not be surprised at radio's reliability. After all, the researchers had created a reverse beak network. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Newsline wishes to thank all the listeners who did their creative best to meet our haiku challenge each week. We're taking a break now and hope you'll use the extra time to check your SWR, chase a de-expedition, or install new logging software. Thanks for making it fun, and don't forget to visit our website at arnewsline.org to see some of the past winners. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT News Service, TheConversation.com, David Behar, K7DB, FAA, FCC, 425DX Bulletin, John Grieve, GM3RTI, Kenya Space Agency, KXXVTV, QRZ.com Forums, Radio Society of Great Britain, ShortwaveRadio.de, Space.com, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. We wish all our listeners the very best for the year ahead in 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.